At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 266. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined today by the King and Queen of England, Jesse and Alex.
Hello!
Well, yes.
But of course, yes, of course.
I didn't know if one of you was just going to pretend you were dead.
Death never comes for the monarchy. We shall be everlasting,
and that makes Alex the king then.
King Charles III.
Congrats.
Is that King Chronic the Fourth?
King Chronic the 420th.
What? And I'm Her Majesty the 69th.
We have Jesse phoning in all the way from England this week.
It's true.
He's in the middle of
the Chilluminarchy.
The Chilluminarchy. Oh shit! Is that our England branch?
The Chilluminarchy.
The Chilluminarchy.
Do I sound okay? Am I coming in loud and clear?
Yeah, you sound fine.
He is joining us live from a balloon over London right now. He is broadcasting to us via satellite. And
what's absolutely crazy is this room is very bright, but if I were to open the window, it is 11:20 p.m. here, so it's very dark.
Unlike our Patreon, which is not dark. That's what keeps the lights on.
I don't know. Some of these episodes lately have been pretty dark.
Dude.
Alfred Packer's still sitting with you. Not Alfred Packer. Fish. Albert Fish. Alfred Packer, bro. By the way, I finally know why I keep saying that, because we covered him. He was a two-parter Wild West story a while back.
Cannibal Albert the Musical.
Still lingering? It's been a while since we've done any Albert Fish.
I don't know, man. Yeah. For some reason, we're tainted by it. You made me talk about eating poop or whatever, and that's all I can think about now.
That sweet, sweet peanut butter.
My little Reese's cups.
Sucks.
Not my words.
My little Reese's cups. Okay. Acolyte. Are you an acolyte? Are you a zealot? Are you a prophet? Or are you the chosen? Go find out.
Just the fun tiers on our Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/ChilluminatiPod.
Did we start a cult I didn't know about?
Yeah, it
exists. You started one last week. You talked about the sex cult that people have openly, willingly said they would join on the comment section of our episode. So,
first off, I forgot about that. Second off, what a fun treat to come back to.
Oh, did I just accidentally start a sex cult? Hello.
Oh, hello, sex cult. Hello.
Did you miss me?
Anyway, you know the drill. Get a bunch of stuff on our Patreon in exchange for supporting us. It keeps the show going. It keeps the show good. I'm about to put a bunch of new crap in the pipeline. We got a bunch of surprises coming up very soon. I think we're going to watch some X-Files pretty soon too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's either next one or the one after is X-Files.
Oh, you know what? Let's just call it the next one. How about that?
I think next one's supposed to be me.
Is that right? You got to pick the next one?
Maybe we'll just wait one more and I'll pick the one after. No Neil Breen though. I'm not doing Neil Breen for a while. We're not. There's only really like one more Neil Breen movie that's worth watching, and then I'd say the rest are so bad.
There is a single Neil Breen movie that's worth watching, but
they're worth experiencing in your life.
Yeah. Head over to Patreon. There's lots of bunch of freebies. You got the art by the always incredible Mel, Studio Electro. There you got ad free episodes. You got the Rotten Popcorn Show. You got minisodes. You can get a taste of these minisodes every Wednesday now here on the channel, or on the podcast feed, wherever you're listening to this. But real talk, There are so goddamn many because there is one that comes out literally every single time an episode comes out. So the library of things to listen to that you haven't heard before by the Chilluminati is vast. So go check it out.
I don't want to say we have a live show coming, right? We can say that. Can we tweet? Can we tease that we're doing a live show?
We can totally tease that. And I would say if you are curious about joining us in Chicago, Illinois on December 20th for a live show that Friday night, I would say sometime around October 4th, you should prepare to buy tickets.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Like maybe exactly on October 4th, but like sometimes around, you know, sometime around then.
It's a nice generic.
Yeah, just like a friendly tip from a friendly guy who may or may not run your sex cult.
Yeah, and if for legal reasons, definitely does not run a sex cult.
But for tax reasons, maybe. Maybe.
A sex charity.
It's at least religious. It's at least religious.
Which means we have to meet at least once a week. So, all right, sex cult.
Hey, nice. Unlike today's episode, which is not a sex cult.
Boo.
I know. Boys, today's a fun one. It's just a one-parter today. There's so many fun, crazy stories that come out of America's 1800 era, the Wild West era, that when I dip my toes back in, I am always surprised to find just a crazy dude or a crazy person. Bell Starr was the last one we talked about. She had an awesome story. Today, we're talking about a particular man that went by the name of Wild Bill, Texas Bill, a man by the name of William Preston Longley. I don't know if he's super well known out there. There's a good amount of information out there, but he's not like fucking Bell Starr or anything like that.
BPL.
See, I want a beats per lyric. It's just
Bill Preston.
No, I know. Yeah.
Okay. We're
beats
good.
Per lear?
Lyric.
Beats per lyric?
Yeah, I don't know. Just,
thank God you're not in the music industry. You would turn that thing upside down, not in a good way.
Yeah, that's why I'm in the comedy industry where I'm a laugh a minute.
Can you imagine beats per lyric? That would suck.
Beats per lyric. That's like some Busta Rhymes shit. That's like Wild Style.
Yeah, no, that's not good.
BPL, otherwise known as Bill Preston Longley, William Preston Longley, is who we're talking about today. And this gentleman was born way back on October 6th of 1851. This was fucking forever ago. Out in Austin County, Texas, just west of Houston, known as Bill Longley or Wild Bill, William Preston Longley, in the mid-1800s was still the Texas around that time was still a relatively young state, kind of having gained independence from Mexico only about 15 years previous to that. And then it was annexed by the U.S. in 1845. And his parents were Campbell Longley and Sarah Longley. And they were your typical family farmers at the time. They just had
brother
land.
And sister.
No, she took his last. No, they got married. Campbell Longley and Sarah Longley.
I can't tell if that was like a roast of the farming community or like, I don't know what you were doing there.
I don't know. How long ago was this?
1851.
Not that weird. Not that out
still
of the question.
Still pretty weird.
It would have been cousins still. Would be less weird. Brother and sister, I feel like dire straits were happening on that farm.
Okay, but it sounded like they had the same last name, and I understand now what you meant by that. But
yes, yeah.
As you were saying.
They were just a typical family of farmers at the time. They worked the land like a ton of other settlers did, scratching out a living in the rough, often lawless conditions of frontier Texas. And Bill was the sixth of 10 children.
Like mega middle child.
Well, it's because they, you know, back in the, you had to birth your workforce for your farm at that point. Like you didn't have like a ton of money. You didn't have any people working for you. You needed kids because even at like 2 or 3 years old, as soon as they can lift rocks and move shit, that's what they were doing. However, we don't really know much about the specifics of all of his siblings. We don't know how many brothers or how many sisters he had. We have the names of a couple of them, and that's about it. There's very little details, even with his relationship with his siblings and his parents. And it's likely that as just one of the boys, he was probably just expected to take on a lot of family farm responsibilities while he was growing up. This usually meant tending crops, livestock, probably learning how to handle firearms at an early age, all that, you know, useful stuff for Frontier West at the time. And again, as we talk about, like, a lot of people in around this time, you need to keep in mind, again, just to reiterate, the kind of violence and upheaval that sort of shaped Texas around this time, from the Mexican-American War to the Civil War, Native Americans. This place was violent all the goddamn time. And this is what he grew up in. He grew up during the Civil War, Reconstruction. He was constantly exposed to tensions between Southern Confederates and Unionists, as well as the violence that erupted during this period. And obviously, Texas had a strong pro-Confederate sympathies, and so did our dear boy here, Bill. His early years were shaped by these racial and political divisions, and we'll end up seeing a lot of his victims end up being because of that. Bill as a criminal is kind of, to me, what that bug assassin in Rick and Morty is, where he's like, oh, God, there I go killing again. And like, just such like, oh, fuck. Every time he tries to almost try and get away from it, he kind of is just like, oops, killed somebody, and gets away with it for far too long.
So imagine I'm like, you know, I've never seen a Rick and Morty. Can you explain the bug assassin to me? I mean, the audience.
I don't know the name of it. Alex, do you know what I'm talking about? There's like a bug. There's like literally a space like bounty hunter assassin or hitman. And he's so nonchalant about it that when he kills people, he's like, oh, man, there I go killing again. And he just starts killing people.
I haven't seen all of Rick and Morty. Maybe something you've seen that I haven't seen, which is rare.
That's wild to me that I've seen. I haven't seen all of Rick and Morty either. Like, I've seen chunks of Rick and Morty in episodes that I just feel like that's
I've seen a couple seasons, maybe.
Like, obviously I've seen all of it, but like, imagine I'm one of the people who hasn't.
Yeah.
Like, how would you explain it?
All right. Well, then I just say you casually accidentally finding his way back to murder.
Okay.
In ways that just like, he could have avoided it.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. And what is documented, what we do have documented here is that at a young age, not only was he violent, but he was wildly racist as well, as were common among many of the ex-Confederate families that backed the views of the Confederates. So this tension is all in the background as he's born and fucking growing up. And the family, the Longley family themselves, despite their hardworking nature, seemed basically unable to keep Bill in check, or they just didn't care enough to. He was very much an independent person right when he was like able to walk away and speak. They didn't really discipline him very much, as far as we know. They mostly treated him from like as a farm worker and weren't really there for him. But I mean, parents at that time, that's not what they were doing. There was no emotional connection beyond I raised my child until
he plow and sending him out into the fields to till the earth.
We know that his father, Campbell, was reportedly respected in the community as a farmer and held pro-Confederate views like many, but there's just no record indicating whether he actively or encouraged or dissuaded any of Bill's more violent tendencies. And like many young men who grew up during the Reconstruction era, Bill became restless, rebellious, the world around him being in flux. He kind of felt like he didn't really belong anywhere. And after his belief structure was brought down by the Union, you know, he felt like he didn't really belong. And which moves us about to him being 16 years old. We're now about 1867. And here is where we see Longley's first kind of act, not kind of, his first act of true violence. All the while he's like a teen, he's getting into fights. He's getting into fist fights, fighting his siblings, fighting people in town, like many of the people we talk, but he doesn't kill anybody up until about 1867. And again, like I was saying, we just don't have a ton of documents about what his life was during his more younger teen years until he becomes a criminal. I would imagine
the Civil War.
But he was Civil War when he was, so he's like 13, 12 or 13 when it starts, right? Still, 15 when it ends. He didn't join the army. Wasn't part of that. He was, he right,
but
I
imagine
home.
His family or people associated with him, especially if he's in the South, especially if he's in Texas. That was
a huge
thing.
Yeah. So in 1866 or early 1867, we're not entirely sure when he was about 15 or 16 years old, he and a group of his friends committed what is known to be his first murder, which involved killing one individual of three that they came across. Longley and a group of his friends were wandering out on the fucking road, just going for a walk away from town when they saw three recently freed slaves coming down the road. These three were then ambushed by Longley and his friends by them pulling a gun on him and forcing all of them to move over to a dry creek bed. There, in a moment of panic, one of the men, Green Evans, spurred his horse and tried to take off. And in doing so, that's what brought the gunshots from Bill and his supposedly his friends. And they hit and killed him. As he did, the other two jumped on their horses and ran. They did not chase him, but then they immediately began rifling through the pockets of Green Evans as they ran off. The other two people with him were Charlie Willis and somebody only known as Ned. We don't really know what his real name was.
Good old Ned, the Enigma.
Ned, the Enigma. Yeah, they took off, but yeah, they shot him dead, and then they immediately started rifling through his pockets while the other two escaped. And quickly afterward, Bill immediately took off. Now, the local government around this time did very little to find anybody who killed recently freed slaves. They genuinely just kind of left it alone almost always. But Bill still ended up kind of taking off and getting nervous about it, which to me speaks to him understanding that what he did obviously
was wrong,
even though the hate and the racist and whatnot motivated his violence.
I mean, you know, you don't kill people, right? Like kill people.
Yeah, you would think like you don't kill people. And you would hope that maybe he wouldn't kill anybody ever again. Whatever the case, though, he took off after this kill. And right from this point, at age 16 years old, Bill became a drifter. He immediately started drifting around Texas, kind of convincing himself that the law was after him, that they were going to get him, when in reality, they didn't give a fuck. Nobody was after him. But in his mind, they were. And so he started wandering through Texas. And what else do you do when you become a drifter in Texas other than gamble in a bunch of local saloons all the time?
Which is what
he did. Yeah, he became a gambler and met a man by the name of Phil Coe. Now, what we know about Phil Coe is that he took Bill under his wing. And Phil and Bill all together. And it's like kind of like a guide for him. He taught him how to gamble. He taught him like all the rules of the card games that they were playing. And he very much kind of became Bill's tutor in the gambling world.
Like we don't know much about Pinocchio. Like the fox from Pinocchio.
Yes. Like the fox from Pinocchio. That's a great
comparison. Trying to imagine a 16-year-old drifter. And I'm like, what is this guy up to? Like, how does he drift? Where does he get this money? Is he gambling at 16?
I know you've seen these, but those videos that are either recolored or smooth of like the early 1920s with the first video camera on a street, and you see these people, like kids coming up to the camera and staring at it. They all look like they're in their 30s and they're like 10 years old. So I imagine
that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
I mean,
like little Peaky Blinders.
At 16, the man looks like he's middle aged at this
point. That is crazy that's what's going on. And then these guys go out and fucking shoot someone.
They shoot, and then Bill particularly takes off. His friends don't take off with him. He just leaves. He becomes a drifter.
Was Bill the one who fucking robbed his dead body, too?
They all robbed his dead body, yeah. Him and all of his friends robbed his dead body, but Bill was the only one that kind of took off afterward. Now, Phil Coe, what we know about him is also very little. We also know he, after the war, became a drifter in Texas. He became friends with a gunman called Bill Longley. Will Longley, which is
Will,
boy.
Bill, and Phil.
No. But he learned. Phil Coe specifically learned to gamble from another gunman by the name of Ben Thompson. So Ben Thompson taught Phil. Phil taught Bill, and Bill was under his wing for a few years there
and hung out with Will.
Yes, Will is Will.
Was
Bill
around.
Bill was Longley on the premises. Is Wild Bill. Other than that, we don't really know much about Phil himself. But he took Bill under his wing and taught him a bunch of stuff. However, Bill's time being a drifting gambler came to an end just under 2 years after it had began, when he and his brother-in-law, John Wilson, and I say brother-in-law with air quotes, because while he's noted as brother-in-law, there's no record of Bill ever being married. So I don't know why he's called brother-in-law.
A sister?
Maybe one of the sisters.
I would assume a sister.
But there's no paperwork work attaching this man to any of the family members, but you're likely right.
It's Texas in the 1800s, so I don't think there's a lot of paperwork going around anyway.
Yeah, very
true. It
could
just be like they hung out for a while, and then they're like, you're my brother-in-law.
It might have been. Because after he was a drifter for a bit and hanging back out with this John Wilson, his supposed brother-in-law, they made a decision. They were going to get money. They were done working and wandering Texas and like trying to find these jobs and gambling. Instead, they were going to do what any person in the 1800s were going to do to get money fast. It was time for a good old fashioned Texas crime spree.
Oh, I thought they were going to open a chicken restaurant. That's usually how this works.
Go for gold.
No, that would have been smarter if treasure. They had done that. Yeah. No, they went across Texas doing thing, committing a vast array of crimes. Robbery and intimidation were a huge part of it. Longley and Wilson reportedly were involved in the robbing settlers, stealing their livestock, other valuable items, as well as many outlaws at the time. They likely also targeted isolated homes or small settlements where they could take advantage of weak law enforcement or no law enforcement during this reconstruction period and just fucking take things at gunpoint from people, and nobody was going to fucking stop them. And obviously their violent tendencies, or at least Bill's, didn't really subside. Aside from killing the first person that he killed, he also went on to be very violent toward African-Americans doing all of this, including murdering another freed woman in Evergreen, killing a man by the name of Paul Bryce, all in very quick. They got into an argument. He pulled a gun. He shot them. He took what he could and he left. But it was only freed slaves that he seemed to be killing, at least at this particular point. He was robbing all kinds of other people, but he was only killing freed slaves.
So he's a piece of shit and he's racist.
Oh, yeah. He's a racist from the day he's born to the day he dies.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
I imagine it's easier, like getting in his head, I imagine it'd be easier for him to kill a freed slave or a slave, considering that probably growing up where he did, they weren't necessarily considered
correct
people to him. And so it was like, to him, not a big deal, which is why it was so easy for him to do it compared to, like, which is a messed up way to think. But obviously, I feel like that's what he was thinking.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you. And the only reason we know he was killing a few people along the way is because we have a few pieces of documented evidence, but so little. It's just like, he probably killed more from the way he acted. From my research,
it's so low
he
risk. How more could you ever even connect them if he killed other people?
Right. Like, there's no way to, especially if they're not documenting it in any way. But all this while he's committing this crime spree, he was building a reputation. And it's during this time he officially dons the moniker of Wild Bill and Texas Bill. These are what he's being called by the settlers. He's
Did
robbing.
The real Wild Bill already exist at this point? Or like,
there's a bunch of Wild Bills. There's a lot of.
I'm going to look this up. Wild Bill Hickok was when?
Good question.
Like, I feel like later.
Yeah, that's a.
Hickok. Yeah, he was. Earlier.
Yeah, earlier.
He was like, I'm Iron Man, dude. I'm Batman.
In fact, 1876 is when Wild Bill died.
Yeah.
Mind freak, Chris Angel, man.
This is a different Wild Bill. He's not nearly as wild as actual Wild Bill, but he's also, like I said, he's also got the like more boring name, Texas Bill. It's like, okay.
He just went with Wild Bill anyway. People were like Wild Bill? And he was like, yeah, that's me.
That's what I'm, you know, that's what, honestly, this probably was part of it. It's like, Wild Bill was around and active during this time. So, and he was name was Bill or William. So yeah, it was probably really easy to take that.
Wild Bill parody account. Yeah.
Yeah, Wild Bill was taken.
Yeah.
There are, in fact, many versions of Wild Bill. And what's even crazier is for a time, people were calling Bill Clinton Wild Bill. There's Bill Elliott from NASCAR was Wild Bill. Wild Bill just to keep using. I guess it's a name that people easy love.
Yeah. John, all named after Bill, like Hickok. Generic names just ran amok back then.
You would think they're all named after Hickok. And I would agree because most of them, at least from numbers I'm looking at now, although there's an ex-Mormon frontier murderer named Wild Bill who grew up in 1815.
It's Wild Bill, man. Yeah, Wild Bill's everywhere. He's immortal. He's reborn through many men.
I mean, I guess if you're just like a kooky dude and your name is Bill, you're Wild Bill.
Yeah. Hopefully Wild Bill is not only given to people who are murderers. And maybe if you're just a crazy guy, you get to be known as Wild Bill, too. During this time in his crime spree, go ahead, Jesse. Would you find another one?
No, just a lot of baseball players also have Wild Bill. A lot, like a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of Wild Bills out there. It wouldn't be this Bill's murders during this crime spree that would get him caught. The thing that got him caught is what got so many people caught back then. He stole someone's horse, and they got caught doing it, which is always like a huge thing. Now, he didn't get arrested. He escaped. But his reputation, not only of stealing the horse and harassing settlers, but his reputation of violence and murdering all these freed slaves eventually did pile up. And in March of 1870, the Union Military Authority put out a warrant for their arrest for $1,000 reward. Ooh. For the capture of both Bill and John.
That's a lot.
I meant to actually write down the money difference. 1,000. Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's an 1870 worth today.
Yeah.
That's $24,000.
That's an insane amount of money.
Still back then, that still would have gotten you so much further. Like, it's like a huge amount. That's how much of a reputation Bill built up in like a year of doing Texas. But he stuck with Texas. So he wasn't like leaving the boundaries of the state. He was just staying within his own state. And so the rumors were easier and easier to build. But this was like the first real time in Bill's life that the authorities were truly after him. And so that was Bill's cue to get the fuck out of town for the very first time. And so he did. He left Texas and decided to move further north to avoid the authorities that were looking for him. And this is where he also parts with his brother-in-law, John. Now, Bill said that John died in 1870, but we have historical records that indicate that he actually likely died in 1874 in Falls County, Texas. Regardless of what happened to John, Bill would wander himself all the way up to Wyoming, where he did what any other person in the 1870s running from the law would do, ending up in Wyoming. He became part of a gold hunting party in Cheyenne, Wyoming in May of 1870, the next get rich quick scheme. And their target was Black Hills, South Dakota, where they would throw in their lot in an attempt to make it rich extremely quickly. In this entire journey where they head out to South Dakota for this gold mining expedition that Bill seemed genuinely excited about and was hoping that would be his ticket to freedom, lasted all of under a month. When they got there, there was a treaty with the Sioux people that prohibited mining in the area. And that part and their party was intercepted by the U.S. cavalry unit and disbanded them instantly. So they got there to South Dakota. Cavalry rolls up and goes, no, we can't do this. You're all gone. And that was it. That was the end of his. They didn't try to go anywhere else. They didn't try to go like into any other state. They were just like, that's it. And now Bill needed a plan fucking D. So for plan D, he decided on June 22nd of 1870 that he would enlist for a 5-year stint in the army, joining up with Company B of the U.S. 2nd Cavalry Regiment. You know, gold mining. Jeez. To the cavalry. That's normal.
Do you think he sees it as like a way to do crimes on the go? Or do you think he's like be a good soldier boy?
He genuinely is in this moment trying to be a good soldier person. He's like, you know what? I'll do it like this. Like, I don't know if like, because the cavalry rolled up and disbanded him. I don't know if he was like, genius. He just saw the man on a horse and was like, I'm just going to go be them now. It seems so kind of just like no thought put into it. It was within a week or two of them being disbanded that he joined. And so he joined up, got put in the 2nd Cavalry Regiment like he wanted. And he and his unit were stationed in Camp Stambo. And here he'd give his best attempt to live a straightened out life and commit. Never mind. Just kidding. He abandoned it in less than 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Where's Camp Stambo?
I think it's in South Dakota.
South Dakota? Stambo, South Dakota?
Is Ohio. Sorry, he was out in Ohio.
Stambo, Ohio?
Mahoning County, Ohio is where Camp Stambo is.
And then so he made it all of 2 weeks.
Military, yeah, military base. Yeah, so make sure.
Like, what could have happened?
I was in Wyoming territory. It's just like in that area.
Probably someone yelled at him once and he was like, no.
My friend got hired at Blockbuster, worked one shift, and quit before the shift was over because it was so soul sucking.
That sucks. That's so. I get it though. I've been there. No, it wasn't like they were too mean. They were just to him, it was too rigid of a lifestyle. Too many rules. He literally couldn't
hang.
Go be he couldn't go be a ne'er-do-well and also be in the cavalry. And so he abandoned them in 2 weeks. And where else would he go? He fucking ran into the wilderness. That was it. He's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm out. And he ran into the woods and he went to try and survive in the woods. Very similar to Boone Helm back in the day. We talk about him running into the woods.
I mean, where else are you going to go? To be honest, you can't just like leave the military when you want.
Yeah. And unlike,
it's kind of comforting.
What? The woods?
Like, yeah, like the idea that there was a time when you could just like be like, fuck civilization, gotta go to the woods for a little bit, chill out.
I mean, you can do that. It's called Canada. It's there.
Yeah, you can get lost in the
you can get real lost.
I like it up there.
That's where Al is going to disappear one day, and then Bigfoot sightings in Canada are going to skyrocket.
120%, yeah.
Me asking for weed as your car.
Today, Bigfoot spotted out burger restaurant.
Alex has got like nugs hanging from his beard, like, just in them. Nobody else can see him, but he's got like Boston Big Bean Boy on his shoulder.
Gotta give the Bean Boy a little bite.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Unfortunately for Bill, he didn't have the luck or maybe the talent to make it very far in the wilderness. For all Boone Helm's dumb fucking almost dying in the wilderness, he had a weird uncanny ability to get away for weeks still. And then when he was just about to die, he would be found. Unlike him, where he barely made it 2 days before they caught him and brought him right fucking back. And he was
how many days? 2 days?
Just about 2 days. And he was caught. He did not make
it very long.
So he was
just like shitting around doing nothing. And then like the cops showed up and he was like, fuck.
They have horses and he did. I imagine he didn't do what Boone Helm did, which is literally run to the thick of the woods. He probably stuck near like familiar areas. This is a man who drifted from saloon to saloon and didn't really like try to live out in the wilderness like Boone Helm did.
Yeah. I mean, like, boy, this is a stupid, like, to everyone on the internet, just bear with me. For a guy who, ignoring the terrible racism, and the fact that he's a murderer, and the fact that he's a criminal, and all the other, like, at his base core, he just seems like a restless kid who has something he's working out, but like, he can't sit still, he can't commit to anything, he, like, everything he's doing, even the things that lead to crimes are like, I just want to get some money, man, and I just want to, like, make it real. If anything, there are a lot of people that have that mentality of like, if I could just get the magic pill that would make this happen or make me do this thing. He has that except in the 1800s, and it leads to a lot of truly terrible things, and obviously his background isn't great, but like, there is something happening here where he just can't sit still because either he rejects authority or he thinks he's smarter than everyone else, or he, like, I don't know, has
narcissism.
Like, yeah, I would love to know a real psychologist's makeup of this guy, because yeah, there's parts of him where I'm like, yo, I see that in people just today. Where, like, oh, I was just saying, start a job and then by the end of the first shift, you quit.
Just too anti-human to like continue giving it your what do you call it? Labor.
Yeah. And you throw that in the mix of like a Civil War soup in Reconstruction era, sure, and Union soldiers coming in and replacing all the, you know, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's fucking disaster for, like, it's a disaster for somebody like this guy.
But again, he had a farm. He had a, like,
yeah,
it's weird because everything, he could have led an absolute normal life where he had every, like, in theory, it was given to him. Like, he could, it's a weird vibe that he had everything there. And he still went out looking. Again, that's definitely psychology, though, I'm sure. Again, psychologists would land and nail. But, like, he had everything given to him, and he went out and sought drama.
Yeah,
and
angry all the time.
Yeah, and that's what got him. And I don't know if that's because he was 6 of 10 or whatever he was, or 12.
7 of 9.
I don't know if he was, you know, because it's a farm life, and he thought it was boring. There's definitely something there going on beneath all the, like, terrible things he's doing where he's just – cannot settle. And he had, again, he had everything. It wasn't like he was a star or whatever, like we would think by today's standards, but he had a life, he had a farm, he had a family that I think loved him, question mark. I don't
maybe
know.
It's weird. I mean, love as much as one could love in the 1850s, as broken as people as they probably were. Not to say that in an insulting way, it's just a different time. They raised in a different way. There was different expectations of children at the time that we now know are bad for kids, like, developing minds. But yeah, I mean, like, they probably did love him too, but, you know, they also probably still subjected him to a lot of hard labor and punishments or whatever.
I mean, he definitely had the vibe of, like, a kid who grew up hearing some really racist shit.
So. Oh God. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
So, yeah, he was brought back. He got caught. They court-martialed him, and he was sentenced to the most old-timey punishment of all time. 2 years of hard labor at Camp Stambaugh with an actual ball and chain attached to his leg.
Awesome. Like, love that.
It's like insane. The perfect, like, old-timey punishment.
Like a book, like a Coen Brothers character.
Yeah, and he served his full 2-year sentence. And after it was done, obviously he wasn't forced back into the military. And he did not rejoin the military. Yeah, Jesse, were you going to say or ask questions?
No, I love that the one commitment he got of was anything forced. Is that he was forced to do it. And then afterwards, he was like, I'm out, dude. I can't.
Yeah, he fucking left.
It's wild.
And they even broken him more mentally. Who fucking knows?
Honestly, you would think that 2 years being forced to do a thing would break him a little bit. But no, clearly not.
Yeah. And now we're about 2 years later. He's about 20, 21-ish, right around that age. And after he left his prison sentence, he went back to doing what he did best, drifting. And
did he do that best? Let's be real.
Drifting. No,
yeah, was he good at that?
He got found in the woods after 2 days.
Yeah. I don't think he was good at that.
Yeah, just he stuck. He needed to stick to the roads. He was a city. He was a city boy. He wasn't a wilderness boy. So he started wandering again and was back to gambling in saloons for a few months, because right after that in 1872, though we don't have specifics, we do know that he went back to stealing horses at the very least. He started nabbing horses from people.
The worst possible crime that you can imagine.
Yeah, especially at that time. You get killed for that at this era.
Yeah, just the worst possible, most risky, lowest yield crime possible.
Yeah, but he actually did a good job at not getting caught, because other than we knew he was stealing horses, we actually don't really know where he was for the rest of 1872. But by February of 1873, he had returned to Texas, very specifically Bastrop County. And we know that because there are criminal records of him being accused of murdering another freed slave over a very small dispute that he got over with them. And this was in line with Longley's pattern of targeting African-Americans during the Reconstruction era. While specifics about this particular individual that he murdered or the circumstances beyond an argument aren't well documented, it was another crime that was being added to his very big growing criminal reputation. Mind you, that was still in existence from him running from Texas in the first place. So he still has a rap there. And following that accusation, Longley then left that county and returned to Bell County, Texas, where his family farm was, where he lived with his father, Campbell Longley, and the rest of his family. We don't know how much contact Longley had with his family during his criminal years. I'm going to guess zero or close to zero. I doubt they were sending letters back and forth. But he didn't spend a ton of time at the family farm after he went back. He more treated Bell County as a temporary refuge and a place to lay low. And it's from this moment on as well that Bill also starts using fake names. He starts anytime he's out, people ask him his name. He starts giving fake identities. So he's harder to catch because he clearly had intents to keep fucking doing crimes. Summer of 1873, Mason County Sheriff J.J. Finney managed to actually arrest Longley for the murder that he actually committed back in Bastrop County when he first came back to Texas. Finney, aware of his growing notoriety, actually took him to Austin to collect on that reward that was offered by the state and federal officials. So he's fucking, even if he didn't have both, he had one. So he thought he was at least going to get $500 for this. Maybe he'll get $1,000. When he brought him to Austin, brought him to the federal prison and whatnot, the federal military essentially gave him the runaround. The money wouldn't come up. They never had it. And his captor, the Sheriff Finney, got so fucking frustrated with the feds that he literally freed Longley and let him go.
Yeah.
They brought him to Austin, spent a few days trying to get the money. The feds weren't giving him the money. So he's like, fuck it. You're not going to give me what I'm owed. You're free. That's what he did.
Holy shit.
And he's not a bounty hunter. This guy is a Mason. He was Mason County Sheriff. He wasn't even a bounty hunter. He was the fucking sheriff.
It's just the luck stat that is like what defines the cowboy serial killer. He's like, his luck stat is so high that like three unbelievably impossible things happen. And then that's how he's able to like do a reign of terror.
I'm just shocked no one shot him.
The sheriff?
Oh, no.
Bill?
Bill has, at this point, gone around just murdering. He has stolen horses, which, again, as Alex said, probably during this time, way worse than actual murder for a lot of people, at least what they thought. And then he has run from being in the cap. You would think someone would have shot his ass. The fact that he hasn't been shot and killed is mind-blowing to me.
I think a part of it, too, is just, again, do people really know what he looks like? Like, unless you've heard someone describe him to you, or there's a picture that's decent, the man, the minute he grows a beard or shaves his beard, he's going to look different. Like, he just, people don't, we don't have the internet back then. Like, how do you warn three counties over about this guy before he gets there? Like,
draw a really good picture.
And then you got to get it there before he gets there.
Fly it by Eagle.
Yeah, I'm sending it by American Eagle. That's how it's going to work. Yeah. But anyway, he just literally, like you said, luck statted him. He just fucking like, fuck it. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Now, there is rumor, but there is no evidence of that. It may have been Bill's uncle, Alexander Preston, who lived in California, that bribed the sheriff to free Bill. But that's nothing more than rumor.
Wait, this dude has connections like that.
That's all I know of that connection as well, which is why I'm like,
potentially connections. Yeah. And he's still like, oh God, I hate him so, like, this guy sucks. Like, not like he isn't like a, like, oh boy, I better kill Little Bury Shoot or whatever. Like, it isn't, and this guy isn't fun either.
And or character. Yeah. Just a shitty little guy.
Yeah, his luck sucks. I hate that for him. I hate that about him. It's so, like, this isn't exciting to be like, oh, wow, oh, what's this guy do? What's he going to do next? He's going to eat someone? Like, no, this dude's just like, I'm a piece of shit, and I cruise through life.
I don't have to pay for anything, la, 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 la.
Yeah, and he then gets to spend 2 years free. He's just not getting caught, back to stealing horses, back to grabbing people. There is suspicion that he killed people during that time, though we don't have any particular evidence or names of specifics. And he would get to keep doing that until March 31st of 1875, where he's now like 22, 23 years old. And this is one of the more notable and well-documented murders of all time, not of all time, but of his life, because it was a personal murder. In 1875, he killed his childhood friend, Wilson Anderson, with a shotgun. The murder was reportedly instigated by Longley being Bill, his uncle, Caleb Longley, who blamed his nephew's childhood friend Anderson for the death of his son, Cale Longley. So Caleb urged his nephew Bill to seek revenge on Wilson Anderson, and he complied by taking a shotgun to Anderson's head. You need me to go over that again?
No, it's as convoluted and stupid as it sounds. I'm just, it's...
This is somebody he spent a ton of time with as a kid. Not like just he like just a, he was his friend.
Him. Just blasted him.
Blew his head off because his uncle said that he killed his son.
He's just a sociopath.
Yes, he doesn't care. He just murdered him. Exactly. That's what I'm submitting. That's what I'm telling you, dude.
He doesn't like injustice.
And that's fair. I don't either.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
This is like one of his only childhood friends, and it was motivated by an external, by family loyalty and vengeance. It's just really fucking weird. And after he killed him, he fucking fled again. He just ran northward, this time accompanied by one of his brothers, James Stockton Longley. Now, James was later tried for the murder of Anderson. The kid fucking blew his head off with a shotgun, but he was acquitted of that, which is why it was indicated that Bill was the sole perpetrator of this particular crime. And following this incident, a brand new reward was posted for Bill Longley's capture, and he became even more of a target for law enforcement.
Very wild, Bill. An extremely wild Bill.
Under increasing pressure from law enforcement, Longley fled from place to place and used several aliases to avoid arrest over this time.
Unstable Bill, out of control Bill, Bill the guy you don't mess with Bill.
You think he had like he's professional Bill when he needs something legally?
No. He's professional William.
Oh, fuck, you're right. I didn't even think about that. Of course, that's what he would be fucking called. So, yeah, he fled again, and under the pressure, he's like just trying to avoid all these people. Eventually, while he was on the run, though, he found himself an actual job, a real job that isn't crimes.
Tell us what this job was, please.
He worked on a cotton farm.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. He didn't last very long.
Really?
Weird. We're looking. He lasted about 2 months because in November of 1875, he ended up killing somebody that he got into a fight with on the farm. That he got into a verbal argument with them, which turned into a fist fight, which then turned into him beating him to death.
Beating him to death
with his fists. Yeah, just like fucking, just beat him until he died.
What the fuck?
Yeah. He fucking took off from the farm at that point. And not long after, he found himself in another murder in that same month. He ended up killing another man by the name of George Thomas, who was reportedly just one of his hunting companions, who he also then got into a fist fight with, which then escalated to him shooting him.
How does this man have friends? Like, real talk.
I don't know.
How does he? You think things would spread between the different groups and be like, that guy kills his friends, dude. Like, he's no good. Like, why? What about him says that's the man I want to hang out with?
No Twitter to stop you from learning these fucking facts. No Instagram stories.
I guess.
Yeah, and this victims. Was another just petty grievance, a hot temper that just boiled over right into deadly violence. And after he killed Thomas, he fucking took off as fast as he could. He just ran. Another pattern of evading justice. And he would remain that way for essentially another full fucking year until January of 1876, where he became involved in another death, where he ended up getting into a gunfight with another outlaw by the name of Lou Schroyer in Uvalde County, Texas. And this actually began as Bill attempting to ambush Lou Schroyer, who sought just to kill him.
He was so bad at ambushing that a gunfight broke out.
He tried to ambush another criminal outlaw and failed. Well, not failed. He technically succeeded, but he didn't do it cleanly. And the situation quickly got turned into a gunfight where Schroyer did shoot Longley's horse out from under him. But in response, Longley shot Schroyer dead.
I, again, must state, it seems like he's failing upward, and I hate this.
That's how it always is.
Everything about this dude sucks so much.
As to the motivation to why he wanted to ambush Lou Schroyer, there's debate that some say it was just like a petty rivalry between two different outlaws that were operating on the same turf, or some say a dispute. They kind of bubbled up between the two of them naturally, territorial, or even betrayal, that they were working together at one point. Whatever the case was, all we know is it ended up in a fucking very public gunfight where Schroyer ended up getting killed. It's just fucking crazy. And he took off.
Dude.
Sorry, what?
Sucks.
Yeah, sorry. You just let that sink in, I guess, for a minute.
But you're telling me, like, this other dude had no friends, so we're like, we got to get vengeance. We got to hunt him down. Like, the fact that people are just like, that crazy guy, let him go. He's wild.
Well, this time,
insane to me.
This time, he did not run to another town. This time, he pulled a Boonhelm and ran into the wilderness this time. He went deep into the woods and...
where he lasted 2 days.
He actually lasted a decent amount of time.
How long is decent?
Less than a year.
Okay.
But about 6 or 7 months-ish, if I'm doing my math correctly here. Because we would then see him pop up again. While he was still attempting to lie low, he ended up turning to sharecropping around this time. And then found work on another farm and brought himself out of his, like, wilderness hiding by working with a farmer by the name of William R. Lay, who was also a preacher out in East Texas. And he actually, for a while, Longley seemed to settle into this more stable life of being a sharecropper and just being a farmer, until trouble soon arose when he found himself in a rivalry with the farm owner's own nephew for the affections of a young woman. Longley's what? Violent. Yeah, no, a young lady they both liked. Longley's nature sort of resurfaced when he beat up his rival, which led to him being in actual brief imprisonment. He didn't kill him, but he beat the fuck out of him. Longley blamed William Lay for his imprisonment, believing that Lay was the one responsible for his troubles. And on June 13th, 1876, Longley rode to Lay's farm, where he found the preacher milking a cow. Longley then shot Lay with a shotgun, because he was only put in prison for a little bit. It wasn't, he didn't kill anybody. He beat somebody up. It's like, a couple nights, just get it over with. And then went back and was like, I'm going to kill the owner, and shot him. Which, you know, kind of follows the pattern of this particular guy.
He's just playing Red Dead Redemption and, like, getting a high bounty and then paying it off at the post office.
I mean, kind of,
he's doing 5 stars. Five stars cops run.
Right to 5 stars every time, and then just runs off to the post office extremely quickly. And after he killed Lay, Longley then took off again to the wilderness, deciding, you know what? It's the outlaw's life for me, baby. This is what I was made for. This is what I'm going to do. Fuck trying to make an honest living. Let's just do what I'm clearly good at doing. And so he traveled off to Grayson County, Texas, where he would meet up with two of his friends, Jim and Dick Sanders, where they were also imprisoned. And what did he do? He can't be a criminal all by yourself. He broke his boys out of fucking prison.
What?
In 1876, he helped his two friends, Jim and Dick, escape from jail. The exact circumstances of the jailbreak are not super well documented, but it's clear that he took part in freeing them completely. He just broke them out. I don't know how he did it. I wish we had the details. We just know that they fucking, all three of them got out of there. I don't know. I guess, like, he didn't blow up a wall. He must have just, like, when somebody was sleeping, or he was able to, like, squeeze through the bars. I don't fucking know. But now they're a posse of three, and so to speak. And as they were escaping, they immediately bumped into Deputy Matt Shelton.
Who shot him dead. The end.
They tried to arrest them. And Longley and his companions disarmed the deputy and continued running. They took his gun and then they ran. That's it.
What the fuck
I don't know why they didn't kill the deputy at that point, you figure, but no, they disarmed him.
Just like input a Game Shark code real quick, transferred it from his inventory to their inventory.
Yeah, now he's like, oh, what? Looking confused at his empty hands as they run off on horses. They ended up fleeing out to Louisiana regardless. They finally left Texas, went to Louisiana, and continued this pattern of evading capture. Though, again, the details of how he specifically escaped is kind of lost. Again, he wouldn't pop back up until a full year later on June 6th, 1877. And by mid-1877, after years of committing murders, theft, evading law enforcement, not only across Texas, but Wyoming and the little counties in between, he, Bill Longley, would finally be captured. After his long history of narrowly escaping capture, he had been on the run and hiding in DeSoto Parish, Louisiana, under the alias of Bill Jackson.
Phil Jackson?
No, Bill. He stuck with his first name, Bill. Bill Jackson. He didn't change his first name at all.
Right.
I don't know why. Phil Jackson would have been better. And his criminal career had come under increasing pressure from law enforcement, because we're looking at a decade of crime where he's just been getting away at this point. And his crimes were starting to become famous, and that's a problem for law enforcement. And a substantial reward was posted for his capture once again. And finally, on June 6, 1877, Longley was surrounded and arrested without incident in Nacogdoches County by Sheriff Milt Mast and two other deputies.
Milt Mast?
Yes, Milt Mast. M-I-L-T-M-A-S-T, like a baby.
Diction exercise.
Alliteration was all the rage back in the 1800s. Everyone Milt was in on
Mast.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Milt Mast.
Milt Mast. Milt Mast actually fucking caught him. The arrest took place while Longley was residing quietly. And unlike many of his previous escapes and violent altercations, for whatever reason, in this moment, Longley didn't even try to run. He didn't resist, nothing. He literally just fucking gave up. And the reasons as to why Longley didn't put up a fight are actually not clear. There's a lot of speculation, but maybe it could have been just by this time, he may have realized that his luck was running out. Everywhere, he's running out of places to go. People were starting to know his name. The money reward was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he just didn't really have anywhere else to kind of run to that already didn't know who he was. And I'm sure being under the alias Bill Jackson didn't really help him very much either. But he was finally arrested, where he, after being arrested, he would be returned to Texas to face justice for his crimes. In particular, he was tried for the murder of Wilson Anderson, his friend who had been killed three years earlier at this point as part of a personal revenge plot by his uncle. And the murder of Anderson was one of the most personal and notorious killings in Longley's career, as Anderson, again, had been his best friend. And that's really why they had the most details on this murder in particular. So that's like how they were able to fucking get him. And the trial in Lee County Court went well for everybody but Bill, with the specific charge of murdering Wilson Anderson. The trial did not take long. There was significant amount of evidence and witness testimony against Longley, and the brutality of Anderson's murder, coupled with Longley's extensive criminal history over 10 years, left little room for doubt regarding that this man was fucking guilty. And so, following his trial, Longley was sentenced to hang for Anderson's murder. This was not surprising. Obviously, this is kind of just like what they did with these kinds of criminals. But at this time, what we do know is that Longley had often boasted about killing 32 men by this point in his life. But when asked historians if they believe that number, they think the number is much closer to about 10. Longley's probably blustering about how much of a violent criminal he is, but he's still 10, somewhere around 10 people is like a horrible, heinous individual. And he was, after being sentenced to death, his defense attempted to appeal the conviction in the hopes of securing a reduced sentence or even just overturning the verdict. But appeals were a common tactic at the time, still kind of fucking are, obviously. But this was a high profile case. This was entertainment at the time. 1877, moving into 1878, capturing one of the more notorious criminals around that time, at least for these people. People were fucking there every day at court. His appeal was denied in March of 1878, confirming the original sentence of hanging that would be carried out. There would be no clemency. Despite his notoriety and the efforts of his defense, Longley was denied clemency. His violent history and the nature of his crimes kind of made him a target of law enforcement over the years. He became an embarrassment to law enforcement, so he kept getting fucking away. And so this time, they really made sure he would not get escape.
I am waiting for you to be like, however, they were out of rope that day, so no hanging would occur.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. You can't say actually kind of the what? Kind of what?
Kind of the opposite. On October 11th of 1878, Bill Longley was executed by hanging in Giddings, Texas, just a few miles from his childhood home in Evergreen. He was like, home was right backyard.
Great.
And
good.
His hanging didn't go well for him in that he didn't die instantly, and he struggled for a very long time.
Great. Good.
He fucking died.
I'm all right with that.
This hanging drew a huge crowd of people. Like, there was a mass crowd watching, eager to witness the end of this guy.
They probably thought he was going to slip out of the fucking ropes and land on a horse and ride off into the fucking sunset.
There are some reports that Longley remained defiant until the very end, and I think there were some people that probably were expecting, how is he going to get out of this one? Though he reportedly also expressed some regret for his crimes in the days leading up to the execution.
Nah, he regrets being caught.
That's exactly correct. According to some accounts, Longley reportedly told the crowd that he had been unfairly treated by the law and that he was not guilty of all the murders attributed to him.
And that he'd be running for president.
Yeah, nowadays. However, his final statements did not change the outcome. Longley was hanged in Giddings, a place where now there's an actual burial and historical marker you can look up right now, where even today people like, so there are like flowers on his grave sometimes. It's wild. His grave became a point of interest for historians and visitors over the legacy of the Old West. But he actually was fucking killed, and it wasn't pleasant. And that on October 11th of 1878 would mark the short but violent end of the short but violent life of Bill. At 1878, he was about 30, almost like maybe a little over, a little under 30 years old. Just from the get, the boy was fucking violent, and he met his very violent end. And like I said, the Wild West is filled with little stories of these people who live.
He's very violent.
Yeah. It's all very violent. But it's like, that's what's fascinating about the Wild West is how many people like this guy existed. These people that lived these 20 or 30 year lives, but like were like a flash in the pan of violence, crime, and all kinds of crazy shit. Some cannibalism, as we've talked about. But he's like a great example, in my opinion, of these people who just like lived town to town murdering. And there were hundreds of these people out there at the time.
That's why it became a priority post Civil War for the expansion towards West, because of all the little towns and things going on out there. There was no real law or government authority. And yeah, sure, there was a lot of like, if the government's there, we can make more money. But also, they were like, yo, we need like someone, get the military out there, put people out there. Yeah, it was not a great place to be if you didn't have any way to protect yourself.
But that, boys, ends our a short tale here. I'm not sure. It's a fucking full episode, but not a multi-parter. So in my mind, it's short. short story of Bill Longley, a.k.a. Wild Bill, Texas Bill, Crazy Bill, Insane Bill, Bill Jackson, and all kinds of other dumb
Phil
names.
Jackson. That
Phil Jackson, the better name he should have taken. That's it for us today, boys. We're out of here. Thank you all so much for listening. We're off to patreon.com/IlluminatiPod to do a little mini-sode, as we always do. We appreciate you. We love you. And Alex is taking the reins next week. I'm very excited.
What?
Yeah. He's married now, so he's got nothing to do anymore. He's just bored.
My big burden is through. All I have to do is joke him ups now.
Yes. Anyway, we're off. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out of here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky. We'll be right back.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.